Blog Talk Radio.
Proudly the note of the trumpet is sounding, loudly the war cries arise on the gale. Fleetly the steed file or swiftly is bounding to join the thick squadrons on Claymore's green vale. On every mountaineer, strangers to flight of fear, rush to the standard of dauntless red hue. Monarch and gallows glass thrown from each mountain, pass onward for Erin O'Donoghue. Prince O'Neill to our aid is advancing with many a chieftain and warrior clan. A thousand proud steeds in his vanguard are prancing, need borderers brave from the banks of the Man. Many a heart shall quail under its coat of mail, deeply the merciless foeman shall rue, when on his ear shall ring, borne on the breeze's wing, dear Conwell's dread war cry, O'Donoghue. The war wolf is howling, fearless eagle sweeps over the plain. The fox in the streets of the city is prowling, and all who would scare them are banished or slain. On with O'Donnell then, fight thee, oh fight again. Sons of De Conwell are valiant and true, make the proud Saxon feel their intervention.
I think one of the drummers tripped and missed a beat there. We'll have to do it all over. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party Book. God save the King. You won't hear that here. You remember that movie, The Patriot, with Mel Gibson? I miss Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson was a good creative guy, and I enjoyed all his movies. Signs is one. My wife loves Signs. And remember the kids had the aluminum foil hats to stop the brain waves? Yeah, somebody commented on one of my pro-American blogs and said that I was wearing an aluminum foil hat. My wife thought that was hilarious. She laughed for 2 days. You know, it's hard when you're the wife of a patriot, and you got to listen to his anti-communist rhetoric all the time. But I'm sorry, I can't help myself. The spirit of 76 is in me, and it'll be with me till they close the coffin lid. I can't help it. I was born an American. I will die an American. Maybe ahead of my time if George Soros has his way and Hillary Clinton, the murderess, the traitor. Yeah, oh, the Democrats have done 7 years of damage. This time, they've been doing damage all the time. And I got to tell you, based on me father, who came from County Tipperary, the 5th Earl of Clonmel, if you're not Irish, you might as well be dead, because there's no sense in living. I'm the liberal son. I'm you know, there's two words in Irish, two terms in Irish, in, among the Irish, and if you probably never heard them. One is a greenhorn, and the other is a narrowback. A greenhorn is a guy, an Irishman who just got here, just got off the boat. They used to say off the boat, now it's off the plane. And those poor bastards, when they got off the boat to find that pot of gold, to find the streets that were lined with gold, they worked their asses off. And they never went back to the old country to see their relatives, their mom and their pop. They never went back. They couldn't afford it. Now you now for $300 and a quarters of casino on a casino, you can fly anywhere in the world. Yeah, you can get those cheap flights, $67 to Siberia. And you know what? When we fall, we're going to get free fare, free passage to Siberia. So let me tell you what's coming up, friends. Trump needs 1237. I'm making a special plea to Ohio. Dear Ohio, you are the backbone of the nation. You sent your sons to save the Union in 1860, and many never returned home. They gave all their tomorrows so that we could be united. Now you have to honor their commitment, and you have to save the Union once again. And the only one that can save the Union is Trump. Beware of false prophets, and definitely do not trust the media nor the polls. Do not be discouraged. If you're not voting because your guy is not going to be in the winner's circle, go and vote anyway. You cannot stay at home. You owe it to God and country to cast your bullet for freedom, and your bullet is a ballot, and you have to make your voice counted, win, lose, or draw. If you sit at home and watch us lose our country, the blood of your grandchildren will be on your hands. Do not sit out this election. It's the worst thing you can do. Get out there and be American. Ted Cruz says he's supported by the GOP. I call the GOP the GOP. It's like you got something. Hey, you got GOP on you. Why don't you take a GOP? Okay. He says he's supported by the GOP. I don't know what you're talking about, Ted. The GOP has hit your guts. They only supported you to take out Trump. And then they were going to take you out for being Canadian. Enter stage left, Jebediah Bush. Yeah, that's who was supposed to rise and ascend to the emperor's throne. But along came Trump. Fast-talking Trump. Along came Donald Trump. And he upset the apple cart, and all the deal makers and the riggers, they all hit the panic mode. Now the rhinos are teaming up with the demo camos to take out the king's champion, King Donald of Trump. All hail the king. And he's going to pull the Latino vote. He's going to pull the Latino. If you're a working Latino and you want to have more pesos in your pocket, you better vote for El Trumpo. Viva El Trumpo. Viva Cristo Rey. Vaya Conte Fiesta. Go with the Tea Party. Notice the racist label is always used. I used to joke when I was endorsing George Bush the Little. I used to joke that I used to make money outside of Democratic conventions selling label machines. And I used to sell them for $10,000 a machine. And I say, today, if you buy this machine, it's on special today, I will throw in free 1,000 racist labels. And that's the, you know what? Racism is a communist tactic. Somebody I know and love thought there was a communist organization that had gone out of business. But he found it the other day. And so he pretends to be a communist and he goes to the meetings. And when he came out of the meeting, he told me, Tom, they're coming after Trump. They're organizing to come after Trump. And they're going to pull every trick in the book and every stunt that the Communist Party ever dreamt of will be used against Trump. And then he named names, which I'm not going to do. And that there were people coming from the Communist Party in Cuba to do it, upstage Trump's being on stage. Really sad. So that's what we're up against. And I have said it. And you know what? It's really sad. Americans are brainwashed. I got to tell you guys, you're brainwashed. If you can't say the word communist, ask yourself why you can't say it. Why can't you say the word communist? I could say it. You can't say it. You've been brainwashed. They call themselves liberals. They call themselves progressives. They call themselves left-wingers. They're communists, folks. They're here, and they're stronger than ever before. They're the same ones that stabbed the Vietnam vets in the back while they were over walking through rice paddies and carrying body parts out of the buddy that they once knew. They're the ones that put all those names on the wall. And they did it in the name of peace. And I'm going to give you in communist songs. When you hear people singing, this land is your land, this land is my land, what they really mean is they are taking your land and it's going to be their land. So that's a big commie song. This land is your land, and they call you comrade, and they call you brother. They call you brother. There's one brother, he stands alone. He stood alone in the Republican Party. The Republicans didn't help him. The Democrats hate him. They call him an Uncle Tom. And he's Uncle Ben Carson. And the only guy that showed him any kindness in the debates was Donald of Trump. They set Carson up to look like a jerk. And what they did, and this is a communist stunt. You got to remember, Jimmy from Brooklyn says when the communists win, they win, and when they lose, they win. When they go to the, every day they go with the ACLU, they go to the Supreme Court to take out another piece of the Constitution. Every day they go, and every day they lose. But then one day they win. And then they come back with a new issue and they start all over again. But that's their only job, to tie the hands of the American people and make slaves of everybody. Slaves will come in all colors next round. But they also came in all colors years ago, too. It wasn't a black thing. It was an all-color thing. Ask the Irish. Ask the Chinese. Ask the American Indians. So, before I digress, let me see where I am. I have a tribute to Dauntless Donald Trump. I get flashbacks of biplane barnstormers. Remember, you see the old newsreels, and they had the barnstormers, and people were walking on the wings of biplanes, and the plane would fly upside down, and people came out to see those spectacular acts. And that's what people are doing all over the country. They're coming out to see El Trumpo, the job czaro. And they love him. And if you don't think they love him, ask the Southland. When was the last time the Southland was thrilled about seeing a Yankee? Especially from New York. But they love Trump. And they proved it with their votes. So I get flashbacks of biplane barnstormers flying from town to town, putting on flying shows. And when I see El Trumpo, and the reason I gave him the name El Trumpo was because immediately the race-baiting communists said, he'll never get the Latino vote, he'll never get the black vote. Well, he's the only guy I know that helped the black guy. He's the only politician that I know that helped the black guy. Oh, they all get their pictures taken with them. They all get their pictures taken with them, and they stack the camera decks with them. But after the speech is over, get me out of here. Get them away from me. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen it time and time again. So anyway, when I see El Trumpo pulling his jet up to an airplane hangar full of supporters, I don't see Donald Trump. I see Teddy Roosevelt on a train campaign. I see Harry Truman on a train campaign. Harry Truman was the last real Democrat. There has been none since. JFK almost got there. But Harry Truman, you want to know about Harry Truman? You know about Hillary, right? She's got a mansion. You know Obama's buying a palace in Abu Dhabi or Dubai. This is what politicians do today. My father-in-law used to say, why does a guy take a job, pay $10 million for a job that pays $177,000 a year? He was talking about politicians. The reason is because they're going to make their money back plus. That's when Trump says he's jam tight and jelly free. He says, I can be bought, but I won't be bought. I'm working for you. I got mine. I'm going to help you get some more. And he will do that. And if he doesn't, we'll be there to remind him. So, when I started to tell you about Harry Truman. When Harry Truman left the presidency, he didn't steal the silverware. Harry Truman had a mortgage on his home in Missouri when he left the presidency. The DNC bought Hillary's house in Chappaqua. And as a reward for buying Hillary's house in Chappaqua, the head of the DNC at the time was given a boon. He's now the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe. I have a picture of him at the podium with a gavel, and he's striking the gavel on the podium. And I put a caption underneath it when I saw him do that. And it says, going once and going twice, sold the United States of America. So he paid for Hillary's house in Chappaqua. And then they'll tell you that the Clintons paid it back. But they can tell you anything, and the press will swear to it. Harry Truman had a mortgage on his house. You know what a mortgage was back then? A big mortgage was $24,000, probably what he had on his house. $24,000. He was driving after he was president in New Jersey, and a state trooper pulled him over for speeding. You know, pull over. Let me see your license and registration. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President. Go ahead. Harry Truman said, give me the ticket. I broke the law. When he was the president at the convention, the Democratic convention, he was the president of the Missouri section. He resigned his position because he saw bribe money changing hands with the Kennedys. How's that? That was Harry Truman. You know what Harry Truman's famous line was? You know the one, you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. And the other one that I like is, when they call a roll in Congress, they don't know whether to say present or not guilty. And his other one was, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. Hot stuff. He was in World War I. He was an artillery officer. And in World War I, the caissons used to bring up the artillery pieces, horse-drawn caissons. And they would set up, they would fire, and then they would go out of action, bring the horses back up, and relocate before the enemy could find their location and fire back. He was one night in a firefight, and they had fired their rounds, and they were going out of action, and the caissons were late in coming, and all the guys started to run. And he called them, "You cowardly Irish bastards." And they all went back to the gun position. Okay? So he knew how to deal with people. And he was the last real Democrat. Loved one woman. You know, you couldn't get elected if you were divorced in this country. And now it's hard to find a guy that's married to his first wife. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Rockefeller lost the election because he was divorced. Okay, and back to our hero, Dauntless and Donald Trump. So, when I see Teddy Roosevelt and Harry Truman on train campaigns, it reminds me of Trump and his plane campaign. I see Charles Lindbergh's A Spirit of St. Louis. You have to admit, this guy has covered more ground than all the others put together. He is the spirit of America. You turn on the TV, look for the state that he's in, because it's not the same state he was in hours ago. He is the spirit of America, and he wants to restore our reputation and self-esteem. You know when the last time we had our reputation and self-esteem restored? After the communists in the United States beat us in the Vietnamese War, went on to become college professors, Supreme Court judges, and politicians who now pass laws to tie your hands and feet. The American people were down. They were feeling down and out. They were feeling we couldn't win anything. We were given 6 doses of communist guilt about killing the yellow man. And Bruce Springsteen has a song, Born in the USA, and all the jerks that sing it, they have no idea what they're singing. If they go to the second verse, it starts off, "Ascent to Nam to kill the yellow man." Well, don't tell that to a Korean war vet, because he will strangle you. He was sent to Korea to stop the North Koreans from killing the yellow men in the South. And we did the same thing in Vietnam. We went to save the yellow man who lived in the South. And sadly, Billy Joel has a song which I love, and my grandson loves it. I got two grandsons that love it. Well, one grandson loves it, and the reason he loves it, he hears the factory whistle at the beginning of the song, Allentown. But in Billy Joel's song, Allentown, he says they waved an American flag in our face. What does that mean? I believe we should bring the draft back. Everybody should get 2 years of flag appreciation. So having said that, we're talking about Truman. I'm talking about Trump covering more territory than anybody. And he does want to resurrect the United States. I started to talk about after Vietnam, America had lost its confidence and spirit. We were browbeaten by the media, by the Democrat Party, which was going communist. And we were browbeaten by all our enemies. And we had no confidence in our military. How would you like to get off a plane after being in the rice paddies of Nam for 2 years or 1 year? And you're so glad to be home. You're going to see your parents. You're going to see your loved ones. And you see some raggedy bastard who never served his country, only serves it up, a pot-smoking shithead, spit on you at the airport. And you've got all you can do to contain yourself from cutting his throat. How's that? And they became the heroes. The villains became the heroes. And good became bad. And evil became good. You turn on the TV any time of the day, you will see nothing but anti-American brainwashing propaganda. The Ten Commandments have been put in the closet. They've opened the closet and let the devil out. So, up comes Saddam's invasion of Kuwait. And the lefties start to say that we're going to lose 10,000 men. This is not there's no reason to go. And it was decided by Hillary Clinton, who voted for it, to go to Kuwait to get rid of Saddam Hussein and drive him back. And we had a coalition of the willing. And that's the last time that term was ever properly used. Because today, thanks to Obama and the Party of Death, a coalition of the willing is us and St. Kitts and the Caribbean. And I just heard St. Kitts dropped out. You don't send the bust of Winston Churchill back to England as your first act of office and win the hearts and minds of the new coalition of the willing. It is sad. But that's what communists do. Divide and conquer. They got to take down the great USA. So what happened? Everybody was predicting 10,000, 100,000. Saddam had nukes. Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, which he did have. If you don't believe me, go up to Halabja in northern Iraq and ask the Kurds how many men, women, and children died from the gas that Chemical Ali dropped on them. How would you like to be helpless? Do you remember 911, that cloud chasing the guys that were running in front of it? Guys and hysterical women and hysterical guys. Everybody thought that cloud was a poisonous gas. And that's all it takes. Doesn't take much. And another thing that bothers me when I hear these defense experts telling us about, we stopped a terrorist attack. If you only knew what they were going to do. I said, well, tell us about it. Oh, we can't talk about it. It's classified. Hey, Joe, it's time to bring out the terrorist attack stop again. Yeah, they got excuses, speeches on walls, numbered. Oh, we got taken out today. Give me the taken out speech, number 27. First thing we'll say is we're shocked and appalled. And then we'll say we're forming a committee and we're going to have an investigation. And then we'll finally say, and we're turning it over to the FBI. Yeah. And I'd like to thank the sheriff. Yeah. Then they bring out all of the locals. So I'd like to thank the sheriff and Martha, the librarian, who brought the lunch today. We're in trouble. We are in trouble. We're going to pay a terrible price. I bet you the Pentagon's got a map of the United States, and next to that map is Whiteout. Whiteout. Okay, take out Arizona. They're not here no more. Take out Idaho. It's now occupied by the Chinese. Take out New York. Oh, it's out already? Yeah. Okay. So we went and we kicked Saddam out. We kicked Saddam out in about a month, right? In a few short weeks. And you saw all his boys surrendering. Guys were coming out of foxholes wearing tuxedos and blue suits because they had been drafted, which may happen to you one day. Because it happened to the French and it happened to the Iraqis. It could happen to you. History has a way of repeating itself. They were drafted out of nightclubs and sent to the front. But I don't have a gun. Take it from the guy who dies in front of you. Yeah. And that's the way that works. Okay, so we kicked Saddam out and all of a sudden everybody was bullish. I think we lost 27 people. I think we lost 27 people in getting Kuwait back from the Kuwaitis, and the Kuwaitis loved us. Oh, the Emir of Kuwait. If Trump ever heard this story, he would die. The Emir of Kuwait, in appreciation for the liberation that the Kuwaitis could come back and get their banks back and their oil back and their money back, he said, buy American. He made it an edict, buy American. So I said, this is great. I happened to be there. I was the first businessman into Kuwait. So somebody says, all the fax machines, Saddam took out all the fax machines. It was a death penalty if you were caught with a fax machine. So I said, that's great. I got a fax machine back home. It's made by 3M. Hello, 3M, do you still have fax machines? No, we don't have them anymore. They're made in China. There was not one fax machine in the country that was made in the USA. I went to Kuwait with 1,200 small businesses. I couldn't bring, they said, whatever you bring to Kuwait, the Kuwaitis will buy from you. But I'm in the automotive business. I'm not going to show up with a two-ton crankshaft grinder and nobody wants to buy it. Or they wait till the last day to get the bargains and you have to sell it at a loss. I wasn't going to take that risk. I didn't have the money to do it anyway. I was the token small business guy. And as a token small business guy, I got to meet the representative from the Export-Import Bank who helps small businesses. And I had a booth right opposite CNN headquarters. What a waste they are. And every day, a reporter would come out of CNN and go, you got any news for us? Did you any big sales? And I was tempted to blow one out of proportion, you know, and let them misreport everything they misreport anyway. But the guy from the Export-Import Bank, he says to me, I'm from the Export-Import Bank. I says, this is great. I came in on a CIA plane that was loaned to the Commerce Department because there was nothing coming into Kuwait. When I got to the airport, they had just put out the fire in the tower. So the reason we were there, the Commerce Department got a tip that the Brits were on their way with a trade ship loaded with goodies. So they wanted to be there first. So for $6,000, you could buy a seat on the plane. They invited me as the token small business guy. I am the smallest of small business guy in America. My mom and pop operation is so small that if we have cutbacks, I got to let mom go. But here I am in Kuwait with my last dollar trying to make a dollar. And here comes the Export-Import bank guy. And he goes, hi, I'm the Export-Import bank guy. I said, oh, good, I'm a small businessman. Maybe you could help us, you know, help us get some financing so we could make some sales. He goes, I said, do you have a card? He says, I'm all out of cards. He says, did you see which way the GM guys went? How's that? I had 1,200 pounds of catalogs. I represented 1,200 companies. When I got back to the States, you know how many companies were left? 600. Everybody was going belly up. Chinese put us out of business. Here's a quick story. The number one truck in the Middle East in the 50s was Mack truck. They used to call it Muck. The number one bulldozing equipment, construction equipment was Caterpillar. You hear Trump talking about his buddy bought Komatsu? Komatsu was sponsored by the Japanese government. So the Komatsu company, they went to the Middle East market, and they walked in and they said, Haji, how much did you pay for that Caterpillar tractor? Oh, they charged me $100,000. So they made their notes. They did their market survey. They put all the figures together. They went to the Japanese government and says, this piece of equipment sells for $100,000 by Caterpillar. Japanese government says, you make it, you sell it for $50,000. And we will help you make up the loss on the sale. We will subsidize your losses. And that's what they did. And now Komatsu is a strong number two in the Middle East and in the USA. When I was in the parts business growing up, the catalogs always had Mahindra, you know. They say Mercury, and they say Mahindra, then Mercury. And I, what the hell is Mahindra? So it's like John Deere, and they're made in India. Well, now there's Mahindra tractors and equipment all over the place. We did it to ourselves, and what did it was greed. And it's little guy greed and big guy greed. On my island, you can go to the poor section. Used to be called poor neighborhoods, and then the Democrats started selling dope there, and now they're called ghettos. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, beautiful pickup trucks driven by contractors will pull up to these ghetto apartment stoops that are full of Mexican workers. And the construction guy will go, I need 5, I need 7, I need 10. In 20 minutes, those stoops will be empty. people that live in the houses, when they get up, they say they can't find a job. They're on their way to the unemployment office. You think about that. You want to learn Spanish? Just hang around near a construction site. We can't get rid of all of them. We're no way we're going to do it. You think Nancy Pelosi is going to fire her gardener who makes $2 a day because of some law? The same Congress that has a law that says that they can do insider stock trading and get away with it. But if Wall Street does it, they'll go to jail. These people write the law. They write themselves razors while they write the law. And the only guy that's going to clean house with a big broom is El Trumpo. They had a situation in California, which I thought was funny. The government of California ran out of money, and they couldn't pay their people. And this is going to happen again and again unless Trump gets in. Because all these politicians are tax junkies. They mainline American tax dollars. But they couldn't pay the gardener at the Arnold Schwarzenegger's palace. So the gardener went in, he mowed the lawn, he did everything he had to do. And he went in, he goes, I'm here to get paid, here's my bill, you owe me $200. And they said, oh no. No, we can't pay you. What do you mean you can't pay me? He says, we're out of money. He says, why didn't you tell me that before I mowed the lawn? He said, oh, no, we can't pay you. But don't worry, we're going to give you a chit. He says, what? And they give him a piece of paper. He goes, what's this? He says, that's a chit. He says, I don't want this chit. I want the real chit. You give me my money. Unbelievable, man. A chit. They're going to give him a chit. Yeah. Did you take the taxes out of the chit? Yeah. And a guy comes up with something new tomorrow. It's not the buyers that surround him. It's the tax people to make sure that they get their cut. I often say, you remember the Godfather movie? The guy in the white suit, he was the Don. What was his name? I used to remember it. He come into the grocery store, guys are working their ass off, walks right over to the register, opens the register and takes out the big bills, says, I just want to wet my beak a little. That's my, was it Don Fredo? That's my symbol of the IRS. Did you hear Dr. Carson say he's never been audited by the IRS? Until he spoke at a prayer breakfast. And right after he spoke, he got an IRS audit. And they wanted to see his real estate holdings. Wonderful, huh? They never asked Hillary about her cattle futures. Okay. But enough about the evil that people do. Let's talk about the good. So, after we kicked Saddam out, confidence in the United States soared. And then when we had to go to Iraq for the second time, oh, by the way, I was at the highway of death. I saw the damage that can be done to retreating Iraqi forces. And I couldn't smell it, but other guys I was in a cab with, they could smell it. They said they smelled death. And if you remember, on the highway of death, Saddam's retracting forces, including the Republican Guard, were out on the highway, and they were wide open for fighter planes to take them out. And many got taken out. And Colin Powell got to George Bush, the elder, and said, stop this. This is a turkey shoot. So Bush, taking the advice of his politically correct general, stopped the turkey shoot, and the Republican Guard got away. But we got to fight him another day. Sun Tzu says, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. And therefore, because of Colin Powell's politically correct decision, many GIs did take a bullet from the Republican Guard, which would have been no more. So you got to be careful when you make a call. And then Colin Powell finished off the Republicans with a coup de grace pistol to the head and endorsed the biggest Islamo-Camo the world has ever known. The butcher of Benghazi. So, Trump is truly a David taking on the party Goliaths and their media misleaders. I read blogs all day long. I take my information from the bloggers. I don't take it from the news article. Sometimes I just glance at the news article and then I see what the bloggers are saying. Because the bloggers are the voice of the people. And of course, you'll have the media people say, I don't trust anything I see on the internet. Wait till they get the "you fired" message in their email. Yeah, and Trump is going to be doing a lot of "you fired." Everybody's going to think they're on the, what's his show? The Apprentice. Everybody's going to be on The Apprentice very soon. Yeah, hi, I'm President Trump. What do you do here? Those are the most feared words in Washington. So, when you see Fox News, I call them Fix News, get gleeful and cheer the communist hooligans. I watched my wife's face last night as she was watching Chicago. It was the last night or the night before. I think it was the night before. She was watching Chicago. And I saw her, the worry written all over her face. She didn't see this as a demonstration. She saw this as this could be an assassination attempt. She was really worried. And you see, the next day, I think it was in Ohio, a guy bum-rushed the podium trying to bring Trump down. And the Secret Service did a wonderful job. But he needs more protection. And I noticed today he was back in Ohio, in Westchester, Ohio. And there was a lot of people from Kentucky there, and they were all screaming for Trump. And he said that the Secret Service did a wonderful job. But I noticed that the people he had in the background were different from the people he had in the background and all his other campaigns. These guys were a lot more beefier. You could put football helmets on them. Yeah. So, God protect Trump. Or as the Arabs say about Trump, fi aman Allah. God protect him. Yeah. So anyway, when you see Fix News getting gleeful, oh, they couldn't contain themselves. The venom was dripping over their venom cups. When you see Fix News getting gleeful and cheer the communist hooligans who were about to get people hurt in Chi-Town and blame it on the cops, you know communism was not defeated when the wall came down. Think about this. A New Yorker that is loved and respected in the Southland has to be a special guy. Southerners don't get too thrilled when a New Yorker opens up his mouth. As a matter of fact, when I was in the service, some of my friends were good old boys from Louisiana. And one guy from Possum Trot, Kentucky. And the two boys from Louisiana, they said, one of them said to me, "Hey, Tom, what generation American are you?" I said, "I'm first generation. My parents are from Ireland and Scotland." He went over and he got his other buddy. He says, "Tom's first generation American." Hot stuff, right? But I tell you, if we lose our country, and the call to the battle cry goes up, I'm going to be down there with the Confederates. I really am, and it has nothing to do with slavery. It has a lot to do with slavery. I don't want to be a slave. That's the new slavery. Yeah. Based on his performance in Commie Town, Chicago, the home of cop killers and kid killers, run by Saul Alinsky, communist, that's called the mayor, O Come Emmanuel. In an instant, our new commander-in-chief, for the sake of preventing casualties on all sides, pulled a Patton. And that's his favorite hero. And Patton said, never let the enemy pick the battlefield. Patton's game plan was simple. What's your plan, General? Attack, attack, attack. And they were asking Trump, let's see your plan. What are you going to do to the Al-Qaeda and the ISIL and the ISIS and the Partridge and the Pear Tree? What are you going to do? And he's going to say, I'm going to tell you. Why should I tell you? Who you work for? Oh, I work for Al Jazeera, which will soon be Al Jazeera because they're going out of business. And they were covering that Chicago thing. And guess who their eye in the sky was that was narrating what was going on? They were rerunning. All of the media reran the flare-up in Chicago as it was pretending it was live. They had a British narrator. And I said, what are they doing with a British narrator? These guys lost their country. They're here now. They're trying to lose our country. Britain is gone, folks. France is gone. Germany, I don't know. I don't know. They might keep that beer hall in Munich open all night. We'll see what happens. You hear Deutschland über alles again, you know, we're all in trouble. So, Patton's game plan was attack, attack, and attack. This is Del Trumpo's battle tactic also. In one day, he appears on TV, speaking in one, two, and sometimes three states. And I wish him bonne chance on Tuesday. And I heard him speak today, and he used a word to describe a situation I never heard before. I never heard anybody ever say it. And I hope to see that word repeated, because it sounded like a very interesting word to add to your vocabulary. So, having said that, you know we're losing 22 GIs a day. They're committing suicide. You know that we're losing 4,700 American babies a day. They're having their heads cut off. Who is more uncivilized? Those who kill children in the womb, or those who kill a small amount of people in comparison to the 4,700 Americans we're killing every day? Who is more uncivilized, I ask? So, having said that, if I can find it, I just uploaded it. I heard it in church today, and I liked it. And it may be down at the bottom, or I uploaded it during the show, and sometimes it won't let me do it. We got it. Okay, we got it. When I hit the button, it should play. I'm dedicating this tune to all those who suffer PTSD and all the POWs, the 22 guys that are contemplating ending their lives, and don't do it. You sacrificed everything for your country, and now your country needs you to live. Do not give up. We need you. To the POWs, the prisoners of the womb, I know that you will be born again. But I would like to see you be born here in the land of the free. following our three greatest principles: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life being the first one. Communists out of our hair, Lord. Oh, I had it. I thought I didn't have it, and I clicked it. This is for all Americans. Many years ago, I am a fan of Sean Hannity. He said something on one of his shows. Somebody had called in. And they said that this guy was great and that guy was great. And Sean cautioned him. He said, don't put your faith in people because people will let you down. And especially media people like Megyn Kelly. But I'm looking at a Tea Party article. And it says five female celebrities that vow to leave the country if Trump is elected. And one is Cher. We're going to miss you, Cher. Let's see who else. It's an urgent warning. I hate this. The pop-ups come. Urgent warning for seniors. Let's see who else. Got to go to next. Okay. I'm sorry about this. Miley Cyrus. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. We're going to miss you, Miley. I guess you could earn a living in Nigeria. They love entertainers. Ha, ha, ha. This one, Whoopi Goldfarb. Yeah. There's a mean person. There is a very mean person. She is not the spirit of America. We're going to miss you, Whoopi. And this is Shakira. Shakira, she plays in Tarzan movies or something. Maybe she plays Tarzan. And of course, Jennifer Lawrence. I love Jennifer Lawrence as an actress. I think I was real impressed with the movie. And I'm sadly disappointed in Robert De Niro. You know, these guys all play average American tough guys. And I'm sure he is a tough guy. But then you find out they're the complete opposite of what you thought. Why do they give them the role models? Why don't they give them the role model that they really are, like a sleazebag? I'm sure they got openings for sleazebags. Okay? And Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA, sent a nun to kill the yellow man. Man, Leventi Beria couldn't write a better song. It is really sad. But then again, you can't put your faith in Hollywood. They are, you know what my theory of Hollywood is? My theory about Hollywood is that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he caught people worshiping a golden calf. So he banned them. He exiled them, and they went to Hollywood. They melted down the golden calf, and they made Oscars with it, a bald-headed guy with no bippy. Come on, you never been to Rome? You never seen a statue? Wake up. The whole world is laughing at us. Last night on TV, I caught an Oriental show, Korean, Chinese, and they were doing things with lights and images and people, and they were doing dance moves that were magnificent, better than the dance moves that we've been throwing at the American people for too many rap years. The Chinese and the girls were beautiful, and they didn't have anything hanging out. They had, you know, slid dresses. Beautiful. The rhythm was great. The dancing was great. And the star of the show was a little fat guy. And who was the little fat guy? Hokum Kandan star. You know that song that was a big hit all over the world? He put on a show that was absolutely fantastic. And you know what? There was only one sad part to the show. Tried to mimic the rap look with the hats pointing in the wrong direction. They didn't have to, man. They have more class and style. Go Chinese. Go Korean. Show us what you got, not what you can copy. But the music was great. The rhythm was great. The entertainment was great. Much better than the crap that I see, that I give the two flicks. One flick of the wrist and one flick of the channel. Unbelievable. Ohio, you got to vote Trump. If you fail us on Trump, we're going to lose the battle. And you're not going to be able to take credit for saving the Union like you did once before. It is really sad. So, having said that, is this a tune? I guess it's not a tune. I tried this once before. This one's a tune. And has a website, and I guess you would call it a show, and it's called Restoring Liberty, and his name is Joe Miller, and he's up in Alaska, and I enjoy his articles tremendously. He hits home to me, an American. And by the way, we are not right-wingers. There's no such thing as a right-winger. That's something that's been created by the Communist Party. We are mainstream Americans. We are Tippecanoe and Tyler too. We are 54-40 or fight. We are millions for defense, not a penny for tribute. We are give me liberty or give me death. In New York, they say give me liberty or a corned beef on rye. I have not yet begun to fight when I see those sailors who were ordered to stand down under the Obama administration and surrender to the Iranians. I see John Paul Jones on the Bonhomme Richard fighting and outgunned by the British ship, the Serapis, and they knocked his main mast out and they said, "Are you ready to surrender your colors?" And he said, "I have not yet begun to fight." And he took over the Serapis and captured it. And as his ship was sinking, his new ship was the Serapis. When I see those 10 sailors, including one girl that was made to stay in the back, with their hands over their heads, I know that's not my Navy. My Navy is the Lexington. where a priest was leaning over a dying sailor and giving him the last rites. It's a classic picture. My Navy is the Battle of Midway, when torpedo planes, a whole torpedo squadron, came in and flew into a wall of flak, and not one of them accomplished their mission, but they all died trying. That's my Navy. Not this. A fisherman from Iran with an AK-47 captures two boats. And you don't believe that. It's a cover-up. Everything is a cover-up. The media, the communist media, is in league with the Communist Party. And in case you didn't know it, the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. It is not the party of Harry Truman. So here are the headlines on from Joe Miller. And I'm just going to read you the headlines, and then we'll go back. Inside Hillary's email server, the entire criminal enterprise known as the Clinton Foundation is laid bare. You know, the guy, she's a great bluffer, man. She's a good poker player. Yeah, it is a well-established fact that by setting up her private email server in the basement of her New York home, Secretary Clinton was able to avoid accountability, and that's why she did it. But that's the difference between a Republican and a Democrat that gets caught stealing? When the Republican gets caught stealing, and speaking of getting caught stealing, the Wounded Warrior Project, every one of those guys that milked that project should be put up against the wall and shot. Because what they have done, they destroyed the credibility of a noble cause, and they should get the death penalty for it. And anybody who destroys the credibility of a noble cause. I'm watching a guy in Israel. Every year he comes out around this time, and he shows Russian refugees begging for food. And he's crying. And I'm saying to myself, it reminds me of when I had a little store, auto parts store, and on Staten Island, and a black minister would come in every Monday, you know, with his vestments on and a chain, and he had a little, like a pay envelope, and he would cup it so you could put quarters in. And I would always give him a quarter. And after he left, my help would say, you know, he's stepping into a Cadillac around the corner. He goes, what are you doing? You know, but the guy's a crook. I said, hey, I don't care what he is. My intention's good. What he does with the money, that's up to him. And my wife is 100 times believes that. She doesn't. If you do evil with the money that she gave you in good faith and believed your pitch, that's it. There's no sin on her. So, and that also, that could also be a stunt to destroy that operation. But we say a prayer for the wounded warriors. And I suggested to Trump that he have, if he wanted to go up 10, he could use Ohio's 10 points tomorrow. And all he had to do, when I sent him my email, which I know you can't read all the emails, but I suggested that he do a 3-day telethon raising funds, not for himself, but for a private VA hospital. A private VA hospital. He would have had minimum $350 million in 3 days. He raised six for the wounded warriors, for the vets. He raised six for the vets. And as soon as the money started to come in, the communists said, he hasn't given the money out yet. When's he giving the money out? Maybe he got word that the Wounded Warriors is not on the level. Okay, so that was my suggestion. And you know what that would have done for him? Imagine what that would have done for him. And he's got a friend, Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis has, you know, I know Jerry Lewis is probably on his deathbed, but he's got the nucleus of how to do that. And Trump could have had a magnificent And from a selfish point of view, it would have been a magnificent tribute, a beau geste, and it would all been accredited to Trump. Look what he's doing for the GIs. Actions speak louder than words. Remember that. So what's the difference between a rhino that steals and a Democrat that steals, and they both get caught? The rhino lies and says, I didn't do it. The Democrat says, you can't prove it. You know the difference between a rhino and a Democrat when they get wounded? The rhino crawls off in a corner and licks his wounds. The Democrat licks everybody's wounds. Okay. Right after Trump earns Carson's endorsement, he gets huge news from this conservative icon. There's a lady named Phyllis Schlafly. She's like the Mother Teresa of the conservatives. And she endorsed Trump. And she's a deeply religious woman. When they say that Cruz is more religious than Trump, she's endorsing Trump. What's the next one? The choice for the GOP, salvation or annihilation. I'm watching. Fox came out last week and said their numbers are up. They're lying. Their numbers are down. About 2 years ago, I believe Fox made a decision. Look, we got all the conservatives we're ever going to get. Let us go after the communists. Because there's only two people in my world, conservatives and communists. But conservative today has been made a dirty word. Because conservatives are anti-communists. And today's conservatives are not anti-communists. They're afraid to say the word. They'll say left-winger. They'll say liberal, progressive. But they won't. They're afraid to say communist. And why are they afraid to say communist? Because when Joe McCarthy got taken down, one man against the wind, one man against the tornado, they destroyed him. And anybody that supported him melted into the woodwork and drifted away. And the communists taught us a lesson. We control what you think. And we control what you say. They will call you a McCarthyite. And I say, fine. You call me a McCarthyite. And I'll call you a Rosenberg. And then they'll say, you're anti-Semitic. No, not I'm anti-communist. My greatest hero is Jewish. And you know who that is? It's a judge. And you know what the judge's name is? Kaufman. And do you know why he's my hero? Because he sentenced the Rosenbergs to death. Was he anti-Semitic? So, be careful when your label machine jams up. So the choice for the GOP. The GOP doesn't care. P doesn't care. They would never, the Democrats would never do this to one of their own. And here you got the GOP. The rhinos are teaming up with the Democamos to stop Trump. What does that tell you? Well, why are you stopping Trump? Because he won't take any bribes and he's making us look bad. Well, what's your favorite Hollywood expression? Oh, I take it from the Academy Awards. What's that? The envelope, please. Yeah. Give me a break, man. With 13 GOP candidates for president now sitting on the sidelines and winner-take-all states right around the corner, Ohio, I'm counting on you, man. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. You know what I call Kasich? I call him the Dorothy of Ohio. You know the Wizard of Oz? He clicks his red shoes together, and he says, I wish I was back in Ohio. No, he doesn't. He wishes he was in Washington. And he was there all those years, 20 years, saving the United States, and he saved Ohio. So, having said that, I say it's El Trumpo. And the article says, it might seem as if we reached the home stretch of the primary season. And that's what Fox News did. About 2 years ago, they decided they were going to start to lure in the left to build their customer base. The next article is, Kenyan Obama pokes fun at Canadian crews. So I got the president calling him a Canadian. You know, my theory is the Rhino's new crews would be challenged on his authenticity, his country of origin, and country of origin, which is a big joke. If when it comes to, I have done contracts where they say nothing can be made in China. If we catch you with anything made in China, we will find you out of business. Everything is made in China. I do a bit where you can reach in your back pocket. You'll pull out a comb, a wallet, and a handkerchief. It's all made in China. You mean to tell me a small business can't do that in the United States? Mom and a pop can't build an assembly line? Open up a factory to make combs? What's it going to be? 10 cents more than made in China? China's got to, okay, they pay the slaves. They don't pay the slaves, but they got to pay the freight. Even if they have their own fleet. And we've been going down since World War II. The first thing we lost was our merchant marine. We had the largest merchant marine in the history of the world. And we let it all go to waste. And now China has a big merchant marine, as does Korea, as does Japan. Judiciary chairman accuses Democrats of charade on Supreme Court. The communists want to point their guy now. They want to point another communist to the communist court, to the Duma. And the only guy that's standing them against them is Grassley, who can be negotiated with behind closed doors. I hope not. I pray not. Next headline. Source: a Clinton IT specialist revealing server details to FBI. Devastating witness. Oh, man. It sure beats an IRS audit from the Clintons, doesn't it? Imagine those people stealing right and left, and they went after a hardworking black man because he spoke at a prayer breakfast about how bad Osama is. When Nancy Reagan's stepson saw Obama was skipping her funeral, he immediately knew what to say. I can't repeat it, but it starts with mother. Nancy Reagan's stepson had a very simple explanation for why Obama decided to party at the South by Southwest Interactive Festival instead of attending. Paul Ryan. Here's a rhino that turned rat. I'm Irish. I see an Irishman that's decent. I'm for him 100%. But I got to tell you, these aren't the Irish that built this country. These are the Irish that milked this country. Now when a guy says he's Irish, and I can tell anybody of any race, ethnicity, wherever you come from, the most dangerous words you will ever hear are, you and I are the same together. Whoever says that to you is going to tattoo you. Paul Ryan received a standing ovation. Yeah. By who? Other Paul Ryans. At the Republican congressional retreat for this despicable reason. Did you see him grow the beard? I thought he was turning Iranian. For a month, he had a crappy-looking beard. Changed his person, and I said this. When you see somebody out of a clear blue sky grow a beard, there may be psychological problems. And when people get depressed, they grow beards. And now everybody that's got a beard, people are going to be looking, how are you today? Huh? You feeling okay? You can take that saying with a grain of salt. I was watching a guy on a show today, and he was wearing a blue suit, and he was one of these talking heads. He was wearing a blue suit, and he had brown shoes. And my mother told me, never trust a guy that wears brown shoes with a blue suit. So that's been with me all my life. It comes out, it jumps out, mom's words, and then it goes back in, waiting for the next call. Okay, so what did he do? He received a standing ovation for this despicable reason. Should I tell you? Because Ryan could sell us out very easily. Match McConnell. He should be driven from the temple of the money changers. You know, he's married to a Chinese girl who's connected to the Chinese government. They have a shipping company. And there's a lot of hanky-panky going on in that shipping company. I'm not saying it's going on with Ryan, but there's influence there. Remember what Julius Caesar said. Caesar's wife must be above suspicion. Paul Ryan successfully pushed through Congress his $1.1 trillion omnibus. I don't know why they call it an omnibus. They ought to call it a succubus. Spending bill, because it's going to be on your back forever. Spending bill that will also fund visas for 300,000 more Muslims. You've only got one choice for survival in this country, and it's El Trumpo. And if he only does half of what he says he's going to do, that's going to be twice as much as, and will cut down on what's being done to us today. And I believe he can get rid of the debt. I do believe that. You know, if we had a renaissance in the economy, and the minimum wage automatically went to $10, $15 an hour, and the price of gas went to 17 cents, we would be ahead of the game. It is really sad. So Paul Ryan, that's why he grew the beard, because he wants to be Iranian. Ohio judge rules some 17-year-olds can vote in the primary. I don't know if I agree with that or not. I could be swayed either way, but I do believe that the minimum age for drinking should be 18. If you're old enough to go and die for your country, and actually you can die at 17, because if your father signs you in or your mother signs you in, you can go in at 17, or that used to be the rule. That's when we had a draft. We don't have a draft now because everybody's been sissified. Everybody, Joe Arpaio should open up a pink panties concession for the entire country, because we're going wussy. And if that happens, the 17-year-olds are going to vote for Bernie Sanders. If Bernie Sanders sent those communists to that Chicago rally, Bernie Sanders is a true communist. And you know, he spent his honeymoon in Russia when there was a Cold War. And he had his picture taken at Lenin's tomb. That's where he's going to be buried. South Sudan faces one of the world's most horrendous human rights situations. And Africa could be a beautiful country. They've got raw materials. They've got assets up the yin-yang. But it's really sad. It's really sad. That's why they call it Darkest Africa. It's not because of the color of the people. It's because of the evil that goes on there. It is really sad. But there's a lot of evil goes on in this country. But you know what? Like abortion. Abortion is an evil. But it's not in this country. It's the law. So evildoers passed the law that said they could murder. And it's the law, and we all obey the law, don't we? And you know what the pro-life people say about the law? Dred Scott decision was a law, too. Actor James Woods, I like him. He was in a movie where he played a sharp, arrogant guy, and he was berating somebody. And his classic line was, "Get yourself a new tie." And it was the way it was said at the time. It was classic. It was beautiful. You know, he was on a plane. He believed guys were practicing for 911. And he told the authorities about it. And they ignored him. But it was like about 6 months before 911. If you Google, you'll find out what the story was. He's skeptical that Obama will call the persecution of Christians in the Middle East genocide. Clinton would not call the murder of the Tutus in Africa because I think that, was it the murder of the Tutsis and the Hutus had killed 850,000 of them? He said it's not a million, so it's not genocide. Clinton has always kicked the can down the road. 911, those are Clinton towers. Those towers never would have come down if Clinton had done his job and killed Osama bin Laden. And he had two golden opportunities that we know about and probably many covered up. One, the government of Sudan offered to turn, they were going to arrest bin Laden and turn him over to Clinton and the United States, and Clinton turned down the offer. And the other one was the CIA had pinpointed bin Laden. He was falcon hunting with a prince from the Emirates, and Clinton turned down that hit. And I often wonder if the father of that prince got a phone call from the president of the United States saying, "Hi, how you doing, Your Highness? You know, I saved your son's life today. You want to write down this wire transfer account number?" Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. You want to hear one that'll blow your mind? Clinton was in Saudi Arabia giving speeches for $350,000 a speech. And guess who was with him? Neil Bush, who was selling books or some sort of library. And they would, if when you go to the Middle East and you go to visit royalty, you're going there for a payoff. Look at Obama. He got a Mr. T starter kit that we know about. But then we hear he's buying a palace in Dubai or Abu Dhabi. And I'd like to see the cash changing hands. King Abdullah, Saudi Arabia, was in Texas when Bush was president. And Bush visited him at his hotel. The Bush left. Bill Clinton showed up to pay his respects to King Abdullah. And my headline in my blog was, "Clinton converts, meets King Abdullah and converts." Then underneath in small print it said, "Not to Islam, but reals to dollars." Obama is, you want to know something? We should boycott Obama for the rest of his term in office. Anytime he comes on TV, turn him off. People are pulling stunts. Here's one, an angry woman behind viral Angry Splash Mountain Lady. Memo says the photo was posed. Well, she was so upset riding a Disney ride. Rubio campaign just told supporters to vote for another candidate. People are stunned. I got to tell you something. I feel sorry for Marco. I feel sorry for Marco. He didn't have a chance. He has to come up through the Rhino ranks. There's no other way for him to get out in front. He doesn't have the money that Trump has. And he doesn't. And if he takes PAC money, everybody says he's bought. So the only way he could come up was through the ranks, and then he would have to do whatever they told him. So he would be a puppet. I'm out of time. I hope I've enlightened you in one way or another. I hope that you say a little prayer for the 22 GIs who will be dead by midnight tonight. Oh, there's another group of GIs. And I kept trying to remember the guy's name. He got released from prison early for fighting back against the enemy. They gave him a 15-year sentence, and they cut it, I think, to 8 years. And when he came out of prison, all the communist media was there with sticking the microphone in his face. How does it feel? How does it feel, you American hero? And you know what he said? Very humbly, he said, please help my buddies inside. They're on suicide watch. Suicide watch. Where's that message coming from? Called the Fort Leavenworth 10. And I'll tell you real quickly about one of them. His name is Evan Vaylor. He's probably been in prison now about 7 years. He was on an operation. He's a sniper. He was on an operation with a commanding officer and another corporal like himself. Another enlisted guy like himself. They were staked out waiting to take out an Iraqi Al-Qaeda chief. And a villager got too close to their concealed position. The commanding officer knocked down the villager real quickly and ordered Vaylor to shoot him in the head. And Vaylor shot him in the head. After the mission was either exposed or over, the villagers of that staked out the location demanded that all three be tried in an Iraqi court. And our brave and stalwart military, Pentagon, said, we'll give you one to try in an Iraqi court. And the other two are going to Fort Bragg to be tried by the military. So they left the Vaylor. And what the military did was they got the other enlisted man to testify against Vaylor. Or he was going to go to jail too. You know how that works, right? So the two went back to Fort Bragg. They were found not guilty. Vaylor was tried in an Iraqi court by American officers, none of which had combat experience. He was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Vaylor is the father of two little girls and a faithful wife. And they lived in Alaska. And now they're stripped of any benefits, they have no money coming in, and their wage earner is in prison. She had to sell her home, and you can imagine, on a military pay, what kind of home would they have? She sold her house to go down to Fort Leavenworth to be closer to her husband. And so that the kids could see daddy whenever the visiting hours are. How sad is that? And there's 10 other guys there right now. Another guy, and this one really gets me because this guy is black. And I'm trying to remember his name. It'll come to me. He's got two daughters also. And he was a sergeant. And he was actually charged with shooting first. These guys are all under the gun before they go under the gun by PC Pentagon, who, by the way, has gotten rid of all their top combat officers. Just look at the general that was relieved on the spot who said, screw this, we're going anyway. And they said, hand the phone to the second in command. Second in command relieved that general. You are now in charge. So Obama killed those poor guys. Hillary Clinton killed those four guys. Leon Panetta killed those four guys. And if it wasn't for those four guys, 30 Americans that were there that they rescued would all be dead and raped. We look the other way. You know the song Dixie? There's a line in Dixie, look away, look away. That's what we're doing to our country. We're looking away, we're looking away. The Dixie song is look away to Dixie because you're not there and you're dying in a strange part of the country for what you believe in. But the look away song that we're singing is don't look at the evil because the evil will get you. So I'm signing off. I'm going to dedicate this to all the women who have been loved. Who have been loved. Because there's a lot of women and men who get no love. And there are more nuns in the United States today than there ever was. They're not Catholic nuns. They are American nuns. They don't go to the watering holes. They don't do the dope. They don't give the laptop dance to a Louis the loser. And so they choose to be unmarried. And they have no one to share their life with. And they're out there, man.
Who do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are? Who did you see, I wonder, that made you just the cutest little angel by far? Where did you get those good looks, those eyes that glow like a star? It seems they made the sun shine only twice in your sweet smile and paradise. Tell me, won't you, darling, who do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are? Darling, who do you-